9, Genesis chapter 29, as we consider our series of studies in the life of, we left Jacob. He was now a married man, and we're going to take that back up again, looking at chosen as part of the lineage of the patriarchs. So we're going to read from the account of Jacob and his two wives, Rachel and Leah, and their efforts to have children. It's interesting, the efforts that two women would go to be mothers, and that's what we're considering this evening. 31, encounter Jacob's children. When the Lord saw that Leah loved Rachel but didn't love Leah, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became, she named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me." And when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she says, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me." So she named him Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I named him Judah." Then she stopped having children, or at least for a bit. When Rachel saw that she was, became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her, "And who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her, and I too can build a family through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah, slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she, when Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her. His servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" So Leah's servant Bilhah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am. The women will him Asher." During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mant to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." "Enough that you took away my husband. Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well, Rachel, tonight, in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to him. She said, "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night, became pregnant, and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. "Presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I..." So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has named him Joseph," and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." Well, hopefully you've been able to keep up with who was giving birth to who. It really is a can of worms. But before we do that, let's stand and sing "Beautiful Saviour All My Days." Let's sing in praise. Genesis chapter 29 and 30. You'll need this opened as we refer to this quite a few times this evening, trying to in this family's life and seeking to establish what we learn from this account. It's such an important account in Scripture. It's the formation of the tribes of Israel through Jacob and the concubines and so forth, or the servants. Quite a big part to his word. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your word now. We pray, Lord, that salvation is beginning to unfold even in these early chapters of the book of Genesis. We pray, Father, for that ability, to big picture of salvation for the world through, Lord, what you will do through individuals and ultimately through the nation of Israel, that all the nations of the world will be blessed. But also what you'll do personally and how you operate personally from the big issues, the big things. So, Father, help us to speak these things into our situation, our salvation, us day by day. So, Father, help us to understand these things, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Program that I quite like. I used to watch this a long time ago, but I don't so much watch it now because all the stories are rocky. But I remember one episode that I actually commented to Lucille on, and it was a woman that went out on a surfboard, and she was blown off the surfboard such that it dislocated her shoulder. So sure enough, the RNLI, they're out to rescue her to sea. And her husband was on the shore. Maybe you've seen that episode. Her husband was on the shore, and because he seemed to be taking a long time to try and to get her fixed. So then the dinghy eventually dislocated shoulder, and you would have thought that the husband would have been over and sound after this rescue at sea. But he was more taken up with these words. He says, with the incredibly handsome RNL, tenderly caressing his wife as he brought her off the boat and was nursing this dislocation. And then later on, when the husband's trying to show love to his wife, saying, get away from me. And as I looked at that whole account and trying to read between the lines, it wasn't just their marriage that needed rescued, jealousy, and so forth. And whenever you have a marriage that isn't pleasant, that is not good. And that's what we're looking at tonight. We're looking at Jacob's life here. Really, there's a lot happening here at a personal level, but really at a deeper, profound level of Eden. We've sinned against God. God has a plan of salvation to bring us back. He will choose individuals who will. We've looked at this. We're looking at life of Jacob. He was the older would serve the younger. And God has a plan for Jacob. And through him, to bless his descendants, 12 sons, or his 11 sons at this point, and one daughter. But through them, they will become a nation. They'll eventually go to Egypt, give them laws and rules and regulations, land and so forth. And you know the history of these things. But through Jacob and Abraham and to Isaac and to this nation, through them, the nations will be blessed. The line of the tribe of Judah, and who is the Son of God. He will be the Savior of the world. From these promises all the way back then. But we're so familiar with this, and it's good just to step back into when God is going to come up with some great plan of world salvation, the materials he have are the best of men are men at best, and we all have feet of clay, every one of us. So it was never ever going that he would work with all the way right through. And that is what you see here. If left to them, this sovereign, and through the mess of this family, his plan will still be in course. But not only that, especially these two women, Rachel and Leah, at a personal level. So there's this bigger picture being formed, thing happening as well. And you might be here and you might just think you're a small cog in a big machine. God, and who am I? In the midst of all of what God is doing, you are still very important. And we only, really, that's what we're looking at this evening as we begin to look at that together. So let's look at this. You remember the promise was given to Rebecca and to try and help God. He has to flee from his home. His brother's chasing after him. He stole the blessing that Esau felt. His uncle Laban to find a wife from there. 500-mile journey, 50-mile into the journey, he meets God at Beth. He gives to his father and his grandfather. God becomes his God personally, enters, and so forth. Then you looked at last time, he comes to Uncle Laban and the deceit medicine. He tricked his brother into receiving the blessing, still part of the plan of God, but nevertheless, about this. And then he is tricked. He wants Rachel, he's given Leah, worked 7 years for her, and for Rachel, he's given Leah, and he has to work for Rachel. And in this account, you see this, that they're married, he has two wives. The Bible's not against having more than one wife, but it very much supports one man, one woman. You see this in the scriptures, for a man will leave his father, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Polygamous marriage, he's having in the scriptures. And later on in Leviticus, just a few chapters on in Leviticus 18, your wife's sister as a rival wife and to have sexual relationships with her while your wife is still living. It was a disaster, really, for Jacob and his situation. So Jacob is now a polygamist in that sense. Two sisters. He's married to two sisters. It's not his choice. He never chose this. He just wanted Rachel. Well, it is very messy. Multiple wives and so forth. And yet, despite all of this, his purpose is out. The promises that he made to him. Now, trying to make sense, I'm sure you know that just to look at what's happening here and to break this down, I'm going to go through this fairly quickly because there is a lot happening. Basically, it's almost like a football match as I looked at this. You've got two teams. You've got Rachel fighting again. Jacob is basically the football and God is the referee. God decides how to score and so forth. So let me remind you of the story. Leah scores first because there's rival. The object of the game is to see who can have the most children. It's such an important thing for a woman and that her identity and everything was not only to be married but to have children. And these two women decide, possibly thinking of the covenant promises or anything, they're just living the life. Leah, trick. 4-0 before Rachel has any children. Rachel uses a substitute. 4-0. She uses a substitute, Bilhah, and she's given as a wife, and in many ways was his wife. Don't have to give a dowry or a gift or anything like that. She produces 2 sons, and scores. Leah 4, Rachel 2. Leah uses her substitute, Zilpah. She produces. Then Leah produces another 2 sons and 1 daughter, scores. She's one of her own and anticipates another one coming. Benjamin, may the Lord add to me another. Tribes are now complete. They just need to expand. God, and behind all of this, God is very much refereeing the situation. He decides the success when. And that is what really leaps out of us in this passage. That their wombs are closed. They can't. The success of all of this match, this contest, is really down to the Lord. When Leah and Rachel were going to become his wife, God wasn't really mentioned during Uncle Laban served 7 years. But now God really comes to the fore in this. And he is the one right there planning and scheming. And this must have been such an encouragement for God's people later on in Egypt and Joseph and so forth. You know the history. And then God delivers them under the hand of Moses. A number of years after Genesis is written and all this stuff is pulled together, they see how the 12 tribes were formed. Point of view, there's nothing in this from a human point of view that you would hold up and say, aren't we great? It is just down to selfishness, greed, jealousy, hurt, bitterness, failure. And through all this, God still works this evening. From the perspective of the two women, the two wives, the two mothers, from the perspective, and Leah, the one who wasn't loved. So I've got 3 points, and I want to mention them this evening. First of all, and this is the account of Leah. Leah gives us a few snapshots of Jacob's early life, of married life. The last, when we looked at this last time, Genesis 29, Jacob made love to Rachel also. His love for Rachel, Leah, and in fact, we're actually told that he didn't love Leah at all. Leah, he loved Rachel. It is a very sad thing. And the plight of these two wives. Leah can have children, but she just wants to be loved. That's really... Rachel, on the other hand, is already loved. She just wants to have children. They want... And that is what's happening here. Both of these women lack in one specific area, for Leah, children. And Leah longs for Jacob's love. Rachel is desperate for children. And she's neglected. Leah is neglected in the marriage. She receives little care and attention. He loves Rachel more. He just doesn't love Leah. Doesn't love her at all. Verse 31, Leah was not loved. But the Lord sees things differently. This is what's very heartwarming about this. Left to Jacob in misery. And it would have just been dreadful. But verse 31 says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, God is the prime mover in this, but It is out of compassion that the Lord has for Rachel at this point and opens the womb of Leah, her sad and humble sister of God. John Calvin says of this, Jacob's extravagant love for Rachel was correct deserves honor from her husband, and if he will not give it to her, Yahweh will bestow glory. Touching thing that the Lord sees her situation and opens up her womb, and she's given. Both of these women, not only do they conceive, the very names of their children tell us. Usually when we choose names, isn't it? You sit with the book and my name means joy or whatever. You never name your children never again or what was I thinking of? Very real, raw account that here are these women given children and they name their children being as raw as that. And you see this even in the naming of the children that are given to Leah, the process of thinking. So first of all, Reuben. Verse 32 of 29, which makes it basically, son, surely my husband will love me now. She says, Then she gives birth to Simeon. The Lord has heard. That's what that means. Because the Lord is linking these children in the birth of them and the naming of them to a lack of love. Then when she gives birth to the third son, now at last my husband will become attached to me. One of the commentators says, it's almost as if she appears to that maybe the love isn't going to be forthcoming. So she almost lowers her standards and says, he'll become a, and so forth. Her hope is fading and demanding less, perhaps, one of the commentators says. It's a for salvation to enter the world through this type of scenario. And it continues, change of mind and devotion. Judah, which means praise. This time I will praise the Lord. In other words, from my husband, it doesn't seem to be coming, but I'm going to praise the Lord. She's suddenly realizing God is giving me at a personal level. My husband's a waste of space, but God loves me. This time I will praise the Lord. And throughout all of this, she uses the name Yahweh. The personal, quite significant. That's how she relates to God. Her God is personal. And it's a very... God is working in her, blessing her and doing this. And she acknowledges the personal name of God. Yeah. Even in this one point. We can look for love in other things, other people. And there is no greater love than the love that Jesus has for you and for me. Than the love that God has for anything less. Really, if she'd looked to the Lord from day one, she might not have been disappointed by. And here is one, you know the relationship that the Lord has with you and with His church. He loves us. He will never do anything other than love us. His relationship with us is a deep love. It's between a husband and a wife, between those two people. You will not find a better love. A love go through life feeling unloved. But to love the Lord is to have more love than 10 husbands. It's a love that never disappoints. And that's what Leah has. She has the love of the Lord. She acknowledges this in the naming of Judah. This time I will praise the Lord. She's coming to realize this. And realize just what's happening to her. Leah's blood will flow through Moses, Jesus himself, of Judah. That's quite amazing when you think of us and the descendants that they will come from each of these 12 tribes, or certainly the sons that flow through King David, through Moses, through Jesus. Part of she was loved more than she ever knew, and maybe that's you. You're looking for love, and no one will love us better than the Lord. He has a plan and a purpose for us. He's probably a Savior, and it's good for us to realize that. And maybe at times we do need to come and say, this time I will. Look at secondly, looking for purpose. And this is Rachel. Rachel was already loved. Is giving birth after birth after birth. This is making matters a lot worse for Rachel. It's humiliating in this way. She becomes insanely jealous. And the reason for that, through childbearing, it's a very pitiful situation that she finds herself in. And in the midst of this, that the blessing of childbirth belongs to God. And she, instead of looking to God, says to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die," she says. In other words, it's your children or my life isn't worth living. And he becomes angry, we are told in verse 2 of chapter 30. "Am I kept you from having children?" So Jacob questions her understanding of the providence of God. You're not thinking only God can do this. And yet Jacob in all of this isn't blameless. You remember her husband Isaac, Jacob's father, prays, "Lord, open." He prays for his wife, "Lord, open up her womb. I'm doing this for Rachel. Leave it with me. I can't decide, but I will pray for you." See, it's the women that are left through a lot of this, just doing his thing. And anyway, despite her own hand, she uses her surrogate maid to step up the whole birth wars. You'd think she's Sarah and Hagar, Abraham and so forth. They tried this, trying planning and scheming, and God says in this way. She must have heard something of this. But anyway, she's determined to have a child. So verse 3, "Here is Bill. She can bear children for me, and I too can build a family through her." So she resorts to Bilhah, becomes the wife of Jacob, but the children would be Rachel's children. She is her maid. And you know what happens in that sense? Two children are born to Bilhah. And the heart of Rachel is revealed. And then God has vindicated me, she says, verse 30. He's listened to my pleas, given me a son. And but at this point, she doesn't use the name Yahweh. Unlike Leah, this personal name, she uses a more generic name. So in other words, there's still not that bond with personal God who will help her. She just acknowledges that God does this. And behind all of this, she scores points against her sister. "I have had a great struggle with my sister and I have won." It's very sisters at loggerheads, see who can have the most children. And so she names him Naphtali. It is all very sad. Not to be outdone, Leah strikes back in a short time, uses her maid, and she is too. Gad, which means good fortune, and Asher. By this time, she is ecstatic. Leah says, "How happy I am." She's floating in cloud 9. "How happy I am." The score is 6-2. The second half, does that get any, is it a game of two halves? Does it get better? It just gets worse. And the second aches. Now they get used. If it's not just substitutes of other women, Rachel was mandrakes. Were basically a kind of aphrodisiac, a fertility type drug. That's what it was to say they actually work. But it was believed in that day that if you want to conceive, same as there are various ideas, mandrakes, a fertility drug or whatever. Song of Solomon talks about it being like seven, the mandrakes send out their fragrance and so forth. In other words, the mandrake. But things are getting fairly ugly and desperate now because this fertility thing, this decides to use, to hire Jacob. And it's that Rachel controls who Jacob sleeps with, whether it's her, whether it's her sister. She calls the Leah speaks of Jacob as my husband, and you've taken him away. Look, son's mandrakes as well. Reuben's out, gathers these for Leah. Rachel sees them. Can I get them with Jacob? So, I think I've said it before, verse 16, the most romantic line in the Bible, isn't it? There he is with his dungarees on. It's the evening, it's at night, it's at a hard shift, and so forth. Who does he meet? Leah goes out to sleep with me. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes hired. You can almost imagine that's it. This is how the 12 tribes, this is how God's plan of salvation is coming about. It really is quite worrying as God. This grace screams out of these pages. We might not like it, and you might think, well, am I really a sinner? We're all sinners. If there's one person in the tribe of Israel, it will be by grace. It's always by grace. The sovereignty of God. He is the referee. He opens and closes wombs. He decides who gives birth to who. So, and in some ways it backfires. Leah, without the mandrakes, gives birth to two more children. In Zebulun, we don't quite know exactly. It's quite unclear what Zebulun means. children are from the Lord. Leah, God listened to Leah, verse 17. Remember, she'd stopped having children in her womb. God has rewarded me. So she named her son Issachar. And she can. God has presented me, verse 20, with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor, son. So she named him Zebulun. She has a daughter later on called Dinah. The score is of Leah. Now, what about Rachel? How does it finish for her? Rachel, at this point, has come to an end of herself, has loved, who's tried everything, all the devices, all the planning, all the scheming, all the surrogacies and so forth, the mandrakes, children. She's barren, and she's barren for about 3 more years at this time. The man God steps in his grace. Look at verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened. He did this. It wasn't Rachel. He stepped in and did this. He's taken away my disgrace. And we know the significance of Joseph and so forth in the Bible. It really is quite. She says, may the Lord add to me another son. And she anticipates another son. And we know that other son is 12 tribes of Israel. And this time, she acknowledges Yahweh. God is often, God never becomes personal. When you hear him answering prayers to others, but when he does something for you, it becomes very, she realizes this. Matthew Henry says this. He says, whatever we want, it is God most wise, holy and just, that may do what he will with his own. He is debtor to no man, can do any wrong to any of his creatures. The keys of the clouds, in other words, the weather, of the heart, are 4 keys which God has in his hands and which he entrusts neither to angels. Certain things in life that God says, I will decide. Only I can decide whether you have love or purpose. For if you are here tonight and you think, do you know the love of God? You will know the love of God. He's demonstrated his love for Savior. But purpose as well is down to God. It's not through effort. He gives in life. And it's not through trying. And that's what screams out. Grace, sovereignty, of giving to the Lord. We live in a society that looks after number one. You take whatever steps you can to look after, to achieve your goals and ambition. It's up to you. But in this passage, what screams out of this, things of life are down to God. It is not down to us. It is down to God. God opens and closes wombs as he decides. It is very real. Leah and Rachel, God allowed it to happen. Both had been visited in their weakness and their needs by the grace of God. And this is a story of God's power, his love and his grace, triumphing over human sinfulness, selfish people, sinful people, and yet God was able to work. I like this ladder with the angels going up and down in it that God showed him in Bethel. One of the commentators says this, was in full operation here, even throughout the scheming and manipulation, the surrogate selling of intimacy, and even the celebrating and the gloating. Even in the midst of all of these, angels are working. God is, despite all of this, despite the foolishness of others. And we know, Joseph, what ultimate will happen to the 12 tribes, what will happen to Jesus. And we don't organize. But left to ourselves, we can get into all sorts of trouble, big issues of life. We have a big God. It deals with the problem of having more. It deals with an unloving relationship between a husband and a wife. It deals with conflict between struggle of having children, of infertility. Those are big issues. It shows us that marriage needs. It causes us to acknowledge that God ultimately is in control of these things. He doesn't owe us our children. These are a gift from God. But God loves us and he cares for us. And he is able, really what screams out to us in these passages. In the matters of love, God looked to people. His love is worth more than 10,000 sons or 10,000 husbands or purpose. It's not down to planning. It is down to God's purpose in our life as he intervenes to guide us. God blessed Rachel and Leah with children. Later on, sent called Mary. And she would say this, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit spirit rejoices in God, full of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Encourage us through the sovereignty and love and grace that we read in this passage. We're going to stand and sing. I think it's a new one. I don't